Hi, folks. Welcome to Outliving Depression. I'm your host, James Kinnison, reminding you that depression is a liar. You have value even when you're broken and you are stronger than you think you are. This is my audio journal where I am striving to outlive depression.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
I always like to start off with something silly that happened in the last 7 days or so. And I shared this on my main podcast, That Story Show, but it's the only funny thing that happened this week. So you're going to have to deal with it. We were on a date, my wife and I, and we go to a place called Tucker's, and it is a boomer restaurant, you know, with wood paneling on the walls. And you could tell that, you know, it smells like people used to smoke there 20 years ago still, you know, like if they took the pictures off the wall, there would be stains from the oil lamps. I don't know. It's just a lot of old people that eat there, and we enjoy it. It's good food. You know, it's just great. It's awesome. But there is a lady there, a boomer waitress, and she was very old. And it was our first time being served by her. She was very serious. And I didn't know this. I didn't know this about her. She's very no nonsense, very much wants to get your order and get you served. And that was it. And I was just being me. So she comes up and she's like, my name is Delia, or whatever her name was. And I'm going to serve you today. I said, hey, Delia, how you doing? She says, I got a ribeye and it's got a bone in it. And I was like, holy crap. I looked at Jen. She looked at me. And I assumed what I was hearing. I mean, ribeye sounded like a terrible, terrible thing to have. And there was a bone in it. I'm like, why are you even working? What are you doing? And then she went on to tell us about some sort of peach cobbler that they had for dessert. And I realized rather quickly, but not quickly enough, you know, to where it's not embarrassing, that she was ignoring me and my kindness and went straight to talking about the specials. So a ribeye with a bone in actually sounds pretty good when you're not thinking of it as being a part of her leg that's gone rancid. You know what I'm saying? So I thought we were going to have to stop what we were doing right there and just lay hands on her and cast the demons out of her leg. But she was just being an LBB is what she was being. So yeah, anyway, I thought you would enjoy that. So there you go. If you hear this before That Story Show, you're going to hear the same weekly update over there on bonus content. Actually, it's just bonus content now. But anyway, today's topic is I want to talk about a little bit about how I pray, because it's kind of a new thing for me. And maybe a little bit of why. I'm not sure how much why we'll get in there, but it all started with my counselor. You know, while I was still pretty down, and she, you know, and I was really struggling to get up in the morning just to start a day. Cause I'm like, this was before I was working. I'm like, what am I going to do with my day? That's the reason why I sleep till 2 is I have nothing to do. And there's, I just can't stand that idea. And so I'm trying to figure out something that I can do when I wake up that'll get me out of bed. I said it used to be food. You know, 2 bowls of cereal was enough to get me out of bed. I said, but I don't do that anymore. This was before my surgery, because I was already doing better before the surgery. And she said something that I didn't think would work at all. She said, why don't you stay in your bed, but sit up in bed, and open your Bible app to Proverbs and pick the date, whatever date it is, the 12th, you know, and read Proverbs 12. She says there's 31 Proverbs, the wisdom, you know, books or the wisdom chapters. And you can read them and kind of cycle through them for a month or two. And it'll be good for you. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. No, it didn't thrill me. It didn't seem like it would work, but I'm like, I'll try it. And I definitely like the idea of staying in bed. So I did. The next morning, I set my alarm. I don't even remember what time. It's probably like 9, which was early back then. And I sat up in bed and I opened up my app and I found the date and I read. And it didn't take very long. They're not long. It was a good amount. And I did that and I started my day. I got up and I went and ate breakfast, you know. And the next day I did the same thing. Now I, you know, call me the Antichrist if you want to, but sometimes my eyes wouldn't focus right. So I would check my email and my social medias and all that and kind of get my eyes squared away, before I would actually read the Bible. So, you know, we can talk about, priorities later on, but going from not reading the Bible for a long time, to that was a big step. All right. So as I've told you guys, I'm a terrible Christian. You don't believe me, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not so bad anymore. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why right now. It's not because I pray and read the Bible and that I'm more disciplined than I've ever been before in my life. It is not those things, because those things do not make you a better Christian. What makes you a better Christian is simply realizing that God loves you and that his life can move through you and make you into a better person. And make you into a better person. You don't have to try. You don't have to impress. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to force yourself to read or pray or go to the church or do good things. You don't have to work harder. You don't have to strive. All you have to do is realize that you're a child of God, that you're saved by grace, and just let Christ live through you. It's his grace. It's plain and simple. If you were to talk to somebody that wasn't saved, and that, what would you tell them to become saved? Would you tell them that they needed to clean up first? They needed to get a few things straightened out? No. Would you tell them they needed to work harder? Would you tell them, no, it's the simplest thing in the world. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Christ was raised from the dead. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's not even a salvation prayer mentioned in the Bible. It's not. It's a belief and a confession. That's it. It's an acceptance of the free gift of God. That's all. But then when we get saved, though, we start applying all these rules to ourselves and to others. Anyway, you're going to get me preaching. So anyway, after about 3 days, I was like, okay, this is actually working. And it was kind of annoying. But it's always good to see progress, right? You know? And I was seeing progress for the first time in my days. And I was finding that because I started the day, because here's the thing that she got me. This is what got me, is she said, even if you went back to sleep right away, at least you could say, I started my day off right. And that's what won me over. Like, even if you roll over and knock back out, don't do another thing all day, at least you started your day off right. Well, I found that starting my day off right got me in the right mood to get up and go eat breakfast and then find things to do. Like, I don't know, look for a job that I eventually got, you know, square up my resume, work on the website, schedule out podcasts, work on NarthexCon. I mean, there was all kinds of things that I found to do and still find to do around the house, because I'm beating one of the baddest habits and one of the first habits of my depression, the first thing that started going wrong was my sleep cycle. And if I can keep a good sleep cycle, so right now I wake up at 7 a.m. and I go to bed at 10 p.m. And that's been really good for me. I have alarms set. My iPhone helps me, you know, on and on. So anyway, we're working on prayer. So about 3 days in, I was like, you know what? It's time for another little micro step. It's time for a 1% change. And you guys have heard me talk about Atomic Habits, the book, and it talks about tiny atomic habits. Sounds like a huge title. It's kind of a bad title, but what he means is literally super small changes. And so I started adding prayer, and I don't quite remember how big of a prayer it was, but I've never been a good prayer. I've always been very simple, and I kind of would apologize for it, except for the Bible kind of tells us to not use a lot of words like those in the synagogues do. But when you pray, pray this way: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's what Jesus told us to pray. So basic, so simple, hits all the good points, and it doesn't need a lot of lofty words. I was raised that you had to have a lot of lofty words. Prayer was not just a discipline. It was a hardship. It was a chore. It was the last thing I wanted to do when I was depressed, was sit there and beg and beg and plead for God to do something in my life. So my prayers, I guarantee you, I don't quite remember, but they started off basic and simple, probably just praying for Jen and my kids. But I have a thing where I go up, out, and in with my prayers, okay? Up, out, in. And so I always start with a little bit of thanksgiving, just a little bit of thank yous. And so I basically still thank God for this, and I guess I started then, is I just said, thank you for listening, you know? The God of the universe, creator of all things, you're listening to me, and that's a miracle. There, if you read the Bible, through the Bible, to talk to God like that was impossible in the Old Testament and much of the New Testament, for that matter. The priests got to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they risked their lives doing it. Being able to talk to God was saved for people like Moses and Elijah and, you know, the big guys. And we do it casually, and we don't, it's so normal. I think we lose respect for it. So I really just get off on the fact that he hears me. I believe he hears me. Otherwise I wouldn't do it. Prayer does have scientific basis that it does help you, by the way. So we can't deny that there's benefits and perks, but I'm the kind of guy that if I seriously didn't believe anybody was listening, I wouldn't care. I would find my perks another way. So, long story short, my prayer list, got longer and longer, and it has now kind of settled. Like, I've been doing this for about a month, and I have 6 disciplines that I hold to. And let me see if I can remember them all. One of them is reading, praying, walking, working, podcasting, and exercising. Those are the 6 things that I want to continue to do, even if I get depressed again, even if I go down again, those 6 things. And you'll see those come up in my prayer list. But prayer is a thing I want to continue, even if I get sad again. Okay. So, like I said, things have settled down and I have a list and I'm going to change the names of some of the characters, to save the innocent. But, I really want to talk about how I pray, because I pray very basic. I don't use a lot of fancy words. Sometimes I catch myself, trying to fill in sentences and I just stop. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have to tell God how to solve this problem. I just need to present it to him. You know, we're supposed to come to him with all kinds of prayers and requests. And, we don't come to him with solutions and answers. If we know what we're doing, you know, we could just do it. I don't think you need a prayer when you know what to do, unless it's a, God, I don't want to do this, and please give me the strength to do this. But when there is an apparent, obvious answer, you just do it. Prayer is just you trying not to have to deal with it. So, you know, there's some more blasphemy for you. You don't have to take everything to God. There's common sense stuff. And a lot of times I think people know. Yeah, they know what they need to do. All right, so I start off, like I said, upward, where I thank him for things. And at this point where we're at now, I thank him for answered prayers, because I have seen things come through. I'm no scientist, but in my heart and in my brain, I have leather clad, armor clad, whatever you want to say, proof that God is enhancing things in my life. Opportunities have arisen. Things in my brain are clicking together better. Life has been altered because of the prayers that I've said. I say because of the prayers, because of who I'm praying to. I had a pastor that used to say, he still does, he's still alive, that God limits himself by how his people pray. That he's able and capable, but he limits himself by how his people pray. And I believe that now more than ever. I have asked for things that I have been struggling over, and God is moving in those areas and doing things. So I start with a little bit of thanksgiving, just a bit. I'm talking about a few sentences. And then I thank him for any specific things that I've seen, you know, happen. Thank you for this thing that's happened, or this thing. I'll get to some of those as we get to those topics. I'm not going to just leave that hanging out there and you're like, well, what's he talking about? It's pretty good stuff. So I pray I start praying in order. Like, I have a hierarchy there. I start praying for Jen. And that's the out part. I pray outward. I pray for the people around me and the things around me. So start up, then out. And this is just my way, okay? So I pray for Jen. And before, when I first started, she hadn't gotten a new job yet. She was looking, and I prayed for God's will for her job. I prayed that she would find a job that was challenging. I prayed that she would find a job that would make her feel important, that would validate her, that would respect her. And ultimately, she got exactly that job. And her boss does value her, and there is opportunity for her to grow in her field and to move up. And it's been really good. It's been really good. And she's even come to me and told me that she had a couple of days where she was like, what have I gotten myself into? But she says she feels like it's been one of the best changes she's made in her life in a while. And that's exactly what I wanted for her, you know? And, you know, you could say, well, that would have happened no matter what. Yeah, maybe, probably. But I want God to get the glory, and I want to be thankful. And prayer, when I pray and then something positive happens, it gives me something to be thankful for. So whether it was because of the prayer or it was just, you know, going to happen eventually anyway, I don't give a crap. So I pray for Jen. And like lately, she's been talking about this tsunami of new things. Like the job is just, so I told her, I found myself telling her, you know, we lived in Florida. How do you get a wave when a big wave's coming at you? What do? Do you face it? Do you jump up into it? Do you try to jump over it like the tourists do? She's no, you duck. You duck under it and let it roll over you. I'm like, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know exactly what that means in your life, in your world. When that tsunami's coming, just duck under it, you know? And just day by day, make your way. And so I've been praying about the tsunami. And she's coming home reporting that things are good, that her boss is in full support. She had a meeting, and this one older guy was just like, that is stupid. I mean, flat out just verbal. You know, he's underneath her, but he was just being very caustic, I guess, you know. So the next day, you know, she's coming home telling me, oh, I guess I can't do things like I want to do them because there's people that, you know, are having problems. I'm going to have to move slow. And her boss calls her up and says, oh, I heard about the meeting and dude saying this, that, and the other. He says, I want you to know I want these things changed and I have your back. And so what does that do for her? You know, first of all, it enables her to duck under the tsunami a little bit. Secondly, it gives her the respect she deserves to be able to do her job. And thirdly, is an answer to prayer. So, yay! Something to be thankful for, you know what I'm saying? I pray for my kids, Jenna and Jay. I pray for the Holy Spirit to draw them to Him. Okay, we did the best we could raising them, but we did not force them into a typical church setting. I did not sit down. I mean, we did when they were little, but I didn't hit them. We didn't have weekly, you know, Friday night Bible studies. I allowed them to listen to whatever kind of music they wanted to, you know, but we raised them good. We raised them with discipline. We raised them to respect money and to know how to handle it. And we lived out a Christ-like life and surrounded them with people that did the same. And we allowed them to be friends with people who did not. And they saw people with loose morals struggle. They saw people with morality struggle. They saw the difference. And seems like, especially with Jenna right now, that she has chosen to live a Christ-like life. Like she is, you know, she's there. Jay, I'm not 100% sure about, but you know what it is? It's their decision. It's not mine. I'm not going to force it on them. Is their decision. I trust what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we did. We trained up the child in the way he should go. Not everybody would agree that we did right. And Lord knows we have our doubts. But I think we did just fine. But I pray primarily the Holy Spirit would draw them to Jesus Christ so that they can have a relationship with God. Because that's kind of the way it works. You can't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws you. Jesus is the bridge. He's the one that made a relationship with God possible and forgives us of our sins and blah, blah, blah. He was the sacrifice, the atonement. So it's just one of those things. And then specifically, if I know what's going on, like they both have new jobs, I'll pray for their new jobs. Help them to find favor with the people they work with. Help them to find friends. Help them to make that money. You know, I say it just like that too. And then I pray for my brother, and I'm not going to get into why, but I pray for him and his wife, and I pray for God's will to be done in their life. There's nothing dirty or sinful going on. They just, They just need it. They need God's intervention in the situation in their life. That could be really awesome for them. So I pray for David, and I pray for my sister Leanne. She has depression, and she has it so much worse than me because she has to work full time to support herself, and she is so strong. And she doesn't like it when I say that, but she is. She is so strong because she has to hold it all together no matter what. And so I pray for her healing. I pray for her to be healed, for her to outlive depression. And I pray for her healing, not just overall, but I pray for healing today. Today, give her emotional, spiritual, mental, physical energy to get through today. Give her companions, help her to find joy in her work. And I pray a few other things because they're personal things. I'll be right back after this.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
I pray for my friend and mentor, David Godbout, my best friend. Everybody's got stuff they're going through and struggles they go through. So I pray for him every day. Pray for him and his wife. I pray for his kids. And it's really quick. This whole thing, this whole list, I get it done on a fast day in 10 minutes. And on a long day, when I'm really using the words, it takes me 14 and a half minutes. So it just depends on my, you know, how wordy I get, how passionate I am about it. I pray for a friend of mine. He is struggling with faith and is kind of re-looking at everything to do with God because he is finding out, like most of us do, that we're raised in church, that a lot of the stuff we were taught is bullcrap and doesn't apply to real life. And that God is God, but he is not the God we were taught he was. A little more complex. He's kind of unknowable. And every time, because God is so big, every time you think you know God, you have to say, okay, well, I know this about God, but he's not that. Because anything I can claim to understand about God is human understanding. Anyway, it's just because he's so big. Don't even get me started on how we all know a different God. Aha. Okay, I got to qualify that a little bit. I believe God has so many facets, like a diamond, right? So many facets that every single one of us look at him from a different perspective, and we see a different side and a different part of the same God. But if we were to sit down and draw a picture or describe our God, be the same guy, totally different descriptions. Some of us are all about grace. Some of us are all about healing. Some of us are all about suffering. Some of us are all about giving. Some of us are all about anointing for ministry and stuff like that. I don't know. But I believe we serve the same God, obviously. But I think each of us have kind of a customized version because of who we are, our personalities, and the aspect in which we're, you know, the world we're coming from and what we see. It just makes sense to me. So if you need a little bit of biblical backup, you look at the God of the Old Testament versus the God of the New Testament, you know, totally different viewpoint, totally different way of approaching God, completely different thing. You know, you got God in the Old Testament sucking people down to the earth, ripping babies out, threatening to rip babies out of women's wombs. And then you got Jesus in the New Testament saying he doesn't do anything unless he sees his Father in heaven do it first. So, you know, here's a God that wants suddenly to heal people and to forgive people and love people and send his son to die for people. So, you know, those that say God never changes, that's bullcrap. He never changes in one aspect, but he reveals different aspects of himself. You know what I'm saying? He always had the plan to send Jesus. So he always had that potential to be merciful and get down on our level, stuff like that. You'd have to be a smarter man than me than one to wonder why he waited. But anyway, I'm trying to talk about prayer and I keep getting off track. I pray for another friend of mine. His name starts with a D. He's a good old friend of mine. He's a good guy. And he's having family struggles. Dumbest thing ever. His kids have decided that their political views don't match up with their dad's. Okay. You know, pretty typical, the young adults. But they've decided that that is such a big deal to them that they are not going to have anything to do with him. And that's sad because I think you can be just about anything and still love your parents and your kids. So my prayer for them is I used to get in real involved with God and tell him how to change them. And now I just pray for their souls because these are kids that I taught when they were in children's church and they were good kids and they're still good people. They're just confused. And I think they're immature. I think they're very immature. I think that's a very immature way of looking at things is you can't love somebody because they don't agree with every little thing that you agree with. That is putting yourself on a very high moral pedestal. And I think you're guilty of doing the exact thing that you would accuse most Christians of doing, of putting themselves on this high moral pedestal that puts you above other people and allows you to look down on them. And that is ridiculous. So the left can do it. The right can do it. The right's just a little better at it, I guess. But anyway, so then I pray for my podcast people. Everybody that listens to my podcast gets a prayer. And there are a few of you that I pray for by name. And I'm not going to get into who those people are. There are two people that represent two kinds of people that listen to my show. Two groups of people that listen to my show that I believe need to know God for real. I believe they have a form of religion. I think they have a type of religion, but I do not believe that their religion lines up with Scripture. And that is my primary, source is God's word. And so I pray for these two people by name, but as in, you know, as they stand in for the groups that listen to my show that these people represent. I'm praying for two people specifically because I put a joke out on the internet about unspoken prayer requests and how I hate them because I want to know. Because 9 times out of 10, when somebody brings up an unspoken prayer request, my mind goes, oh, it's sex stuff. It's sex stuff. It's got to be. And it bothers me when it's like a 75-year-old woman. I'm like, what's she struggling with? You know? Oh, my goodness. So I made this joke that my character, Jojo the Clown, I quoted him. And somebody, I guess, misread it and said, okay, well, here's my unspoken, I don't really do church, but here's my prayer request. And they put it out there. And so I have a thing where if you put out a prayer request, I pray for you for 5 days or seven, no, for 6 days. I don't pray on Sundays. I take a day off. It's my day of rest. Prayer is still just enough work to where, you know, when I take a Sabbath, I'm gonna lay off prayer too. Going to church is good enough. Because that's something I do now that I didn't used to do. So I'm praying for somebody's mother-in-law. And I asked for an update, and it turned out that she had complications during her surgery, but it happened while she was opened up, and they got everything, and everything's doing good. And I'm like, for me, that's a thing to thank God for, because complications aren't a joke, especially with older people. And imagine if something had happened after they zipped her back up, you know, how would they have known? She could have got very sick and died. So, whether or not this individual knows it or not, I believe God was working in the mother-in-law's life. So praise, you know, and glory to God for that. And then there's another lady that just, you know, had mentioned that she was struggling with something to the point that there's part of her family she can't see because of some of the things that are going on. And I don't know all the details. And you know what? You don't have to know. I always love people that need all the details. I need prayer for my uncle. What's his name? Who cares what his name is? Just pray for so-and-so's uncle. God knows who it is. You don't need to freaking know. You just want to satisfy that little monster inside of you. But anyway, so I don't know all the issues with her, and I don't need to know. I know how families work, and I know they can be the closest thing to heaven or the closest thing to hell. And hers is pretty close to the bad place. So I pray for her. She's got, I want to say, 3 more days. So she better get her stuff together. Otherwise, anyway, I pray for Narthex Con, because it falls under the podcast thing. And it is the source of a little bit of stress. I think it's going to be a great event, but there's a lot, you know, there's work to do, and there's a lot of things to do still. Especially the night before. That's the worst part, is there's a lot of prep I can do, but most of it's going to be done the night before the event. And so I pray that things will just be easy and simple, and that I will think of them, and that I will have help. And I pray that the people that come will enjoy it. And I pray that the God's Spirit would be there, and that even though we don't preach, even though we won't pray, that people would feel the presence of God there, and they would be attracted to his love. That's all I want for people. I want people to have a shot with God. Just give him a shot. And if he doesn't live up to the hype, freaking kick him to the curb, you know? So, that's Narthex Con. And then lastly, that's the end of the out. I was up, out, and in. So I pray for myself. And I start by praying for my disciplines, because they are the things that are most important to me. Lord, help me to read when I get up. Help me to pray. Help me to walk my 30 minutes a day. Help me to work. Now, granted, I'm not working right now, but I work at home. And I'll get to that in a minute. I work at home. So I work here. I work and I do tasks here, and I look for jobs. But I want to be a person that has a job. And so that's important to me. Even though I'm not currently working, I want to work, and I want it to be one of my disciplines, one of the important things. And then podcasting is on there, because I want it to be a discipline. I want it to be something I do even if I get sad. I want to try really, really hard. I've never been able to do it. And it would mean so much to me if I could, because I get so depressed when I can't podcast. When I can't do that story show, it breaks my heart. It hurts so bad. It makes me suffer so much. And I think I stay depressed longer. And even after I start coming out of it, it takes me a while to get back into the swing of things. And I don't know how it would be possible to do a podcast about comedy when I feel like absolute crap. I don't know. But I will tell you today I did not want to do this show, okay? Today I was feeling tired all day. And today I was feeling low. Today I started worrying about myself. Started worrying if the presh was coming. That's what I'm calling depression. It's depresh. I was wondering if a little of the depresh wasn't coming back. And I said, you know what? This discipline is just as important as the prayer. It's just as important as the walking. It's just as important as the working. You need to sit down and you need to start writing notes. Don't worry about doing the show. Just start writing notes and fill them in and get this thing going. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. So today, my prayers about my disciplines came true, I guess, happened. And God gets the glory for that because it wasn't in my strength. It was the strength that God puts in me. So I pray then that I would be a blessing to my family and to others. That's one of the ones I added in. This stuff happened over the course of the last 3 months. Like I would pray and I was like, you know what? I suck at, I wanted a better relationship with my family members. But I didn't feel right about praying for that because that's just like about me, right? It's like, hey, you know, just give me this, God. Give me, you know, a better relationship with my kids. Give me a better relationship with my wife. So instead, I'm like, no, help me to be someone they want to have a relationship with. So help me to be a blessing to family and to others. Right in there also, I've kind of put a subcategory in that I haven't written down, but it's God, give me the work ethic that I have at work. Give it to me at home too. Because I'm the one that waits till my wife tells me to take out the trash before I take out the trash. And she has to ask me to take out the boxes and the big items before I take them out. Well, not anymore. I do these things. And I look around the house actively for things that need to be fixed. And I reported a whole list of things last week that I did because they were things that needed to be done around the house. And I'm still actively doing, taking care of projects and taking care of things, working on stuff, making phone calls, got my son a doctor's appointment, you know, on and on and on. It's just stuff that I can do because I'm home right now and it's a lot easier to get done than it was when I was working full time. So a blessing to family and others and having that work ethic at home. And then I pray for healing. I pray like I did for my sister. I pray, God, thank you so much for my healing. I believe you have healed me. I'm just stupid enough to believe that. And I'll often say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, like the Bible says. Because I've been through this cycle before. This has just been the longest that it's ever been good. So in some ways, sometimes tears come during this part of the prayer because I get so scared of things going bad again. Because at the time, especially when I was working and I was podcasting regularly and my wife was so happy and she's always happy and she always loves me, but she does better when I'm doing better, you know? It just makes sense, right? So there's so much to lose. There's so much more to lose this time because it's been so good for so long. So I pray for healing and I thank him for the healing overall because I believe I'm healed. Just stupidly, blindly believe that. But then I pray for healing for the day. Same thing, emotional, spiritual, physical, social energy to make it through the day. And so far, so good. I pray for favor. I started praying for favor when I started working at the sign shop with the bad boss. I prayed for favor with my coworkers because I quite honestly was outworking them and I was being favorited. That didn't last forever, but I didn't want to be hated for it. You know what I'm saying? The new guy comes in, oh, he thinks he's all that. You know, I didn't want to be that guy. And so I'll just say that God answered this by providing opportunities for us to be friends. To that point, something I will bring up later is I'm still in touch with these guys and we went to lunch today and we talked about work, talked about getting them moved on to a different job, you know? So yeah, I mean, stuff is being answered in weird and unique ways and opening opportunities that never would have opened before. I pray for my words. Okay. This is something that you might have noticed in past episodes and maybe even more recent episodes is sometimes I lose my words. And it's been less of an issue lately because I've been praying about it and God has answered my prayers. But during jokes, I would forget where I was going. I would forget actors' names and movie names and references that I was trying to make. And then around the house, I would mix up words. And I couldn't remember the name of a place we'd been to 100 times or the name of a thing at work that I was supposed to remember. And it would cause me frustration. Sometimes it'd just be funny. You know, it was funny at first, but it really started bothering me. And I'm like, you know, I need to pray about this. I need to actually get God involved because I might be just slowly going nuts. And I have found that since I've prayed for my words, I pray for synapses to be connected. I pray for just any kind of damage that's been done just to be reconnected. And I think 90% of it comes from me spending a lot of time alone and not having to have discussions and conversations except through podcasting. And I just got out of practice. But I also think God has healed me and is healing me. So I thank him for healing me. And I thank him. I ask him because the Bible says that God is faithful to complete the work that he has started in you. So I claim that. And then lastly, I pray for my podcasts because my podcasts are important to me. They're more than a hobby. They're a part of my life. And they come into play, especially when I'm down, when I can't do them. And when I can't, they are the first thing my psychiatrist and my counselor asks me, are you podcasting? Because they can tell so much by whether I'm podcasting or not. They know where I'm at mentally by whether I'm podcasting or not. So I pray for the podcast itself. And I'll use examples sometimes. I'm like, you know, a pianist will happily play for a few people in a parlor. I think thinking about the old days, you know, when that's the only music people had. But he would much rather play in a, you know, same practice, same piece. He'd much rather play in an auditorium. So I do. I pray for numbers. I pray that God would generate, new audience members, that our clean comedy would hit its niche and people would find us. And word of mouth would spread, and that we would be a blessing to the people that listen. I pray that even though we don't preach, I pray that God would, that the Holy Spirit would do the work that he does, and that is to reach out into the hearts and lives of people, draw people to the love that we show, and help us to be clean and funny, because that's not always easy. And just help him to be glorified through what we do. And I have 3 podcasts that I'm doing right now. Outliving Depression, which is you're listening to right now. We're Both Right with Jennifer and James. And then That Story Show, where we put your real life stories into the spotlight, your hilarious real life stories into the spotlight. So I pray for those quickly. And I do. I pray that things will move forward. Now, if I never gain another additional listener, I'm still happy. We are doing great. We're 18 years old on That Story Show. Things have kind of leveled out. It's a good number. It's a good number of people that listen. The income is good. But, you know, I'm a man and I like to grow. I like things to grow and to succeed and to be better. And again, I'll play to the parlor, but I would love to play a stadium, you know, but at the same time, I'm always like, but I never want to get so popular that I can't pray for my people. I can't reach out and talk to my people. I never want to get so big that I can't, you know, I can't do Narthex Con. I can't answer a freaking email because I've got, you know, a million inbox in the inbox, you know. So anyway, that's the end of my prayers. I put podcast at the end. And again, all that took me almost an hour to get through, but I, 10 minutes, boom, 10, 15 minutes on the long end and I'm done. That's a daily prayer. And so, why do I pray? Why do I pray? Because I see results. I'll just be honest. I see results. And I think it puts me in a place where I'm supposed to be with God. I'm supposed to rely on God. I have to make that decision. And I want to be a person that relies on God. A lot of people see God as a crutch. Well, I need a crutch, okay? And God is my crutch. Everybody freaking needs a crutch. And everybody uses one. Mine just happens to be God. So there you go. It puts me in a place where I'm more thankful that I think about him as a supplier and a provider and someone that loves me and cares for me rather than just for years, he was just the guy that let me suffer and said, no, I'm not healing you. No, I'm not going to make you feel better. No, I'm not going to fix your problems. Of course, all that turned out to be not now, but I didn't know that at the time. I just had to decide I'm going to serve a God that loved me through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever believed in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The crux of the entire Bible wrapped up in one scripture. God already did everything he needed to do to prove his love to me. I owe him if he never does another thing. Even if he was a bad God, he is the God. And I will serve him because he's the one that, but he's not a bad God. So, because he sent his son, Jesus, he showed what we were worth to him by what he paid for us. And he paid for us with his son, Jesus Christ. All right. So there we go. There's your sermon. I'll shut up. Health updates. I am 220 now, 10 pounds lighter than the doctor said I would be. And I want to lose another 5 pounds before I'm at my stretch goal. So I'm pretty happy. My body has got a lot of bones in it. And I notice this constantly. It's weird not to have padding around my rib cage because I bump into stuff and it hurts. I lay down on the floor and there's bones poking out. Like I got a tailbone. Yeah, I try to hold my weights. Like after, you know, cause I'm doing weightlifting, and I set them on my chest to rest between bench presses and it hurts. I can't do it. I can't hold them there. I used to have these nice big, man boobs and I can't let them sit there anymore. So my wife can hug me and grab her forearm. And before she couldn't even reach her hands all the way around. So she was just commenting on that today. She was like, gosh, you're even thinner. And I'm thinner than I was when I got married. I was 250 when I got married. So my wedding ring, not only can I wear it, but it's getting dangerously close to being able to fall off because my finger is smaller than it was in 1996. So that's kind of cray cray. So we might have to get some gold taken out and whatever gold this is. We bought it at Sam's for $100 back in 96. Yeah. So I don't know how much gold's in it, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll ask. We'll find out if Sam's Club, you know, was real or not. So, health updates again. I'm walking, 30 minutes a day still, but I have upgraded from 2.5 to 3 on the incline. And I'm also walking at 3, which I've said, if I went to 4, I would have to trot. And I don't feel like I'm ready to trot. Oh, I meant to talk about my body a little bit. Just because I know people are curious, I don't want to focus on it. But if you've seen pictures of me online recently, you'll notice that my face is thinner, but my neck is kind of got some sagging skin. I have sagging skin around my belly button you know, it sags over the front of my pants. It did that before, but now it's flat instead of fat. So you know what? I don't give a crap. I'm 50 years old. I'm cool with being a little saggy baggy. I don't care. I wear a nice fitted t-shirt. I wear a nice button-up shirt, and I look thin. I look thinner. You don't see it. So it doesn't matter. And I'm not ashamed. I would rather be deflated than inflated. You know what I'm saying? So whatever. I'm not thrilled about the face because I didn't want jowls. Like I didn't want my cheeks to sag, and that didn't happen. But the center of my neck under my chin hangs down, and it kind of hangs down in two little sections. And it kind of looks like something that would be on Rick and Morty. So that's all I'm going to say. If you listen to Rick and Morty, then you get my joke. If you don't, then God bless you. All things are pure to those who are pure. So I'll be right back after this. Podcast-wise, I had guest host Donovan Atkinson on last week, and it goes live tomorrow, which is Tuesday. He is a good guy and a great co-host, and it was an excellent show. Had a lot of fun with him. I like him a lot. We are on both sides, on either side, like on two different sides, on two major topics, two major things in our life. He leans to the left. I still, somehow or another, I'm a compassionate conservative with left leanings. I lean toward the compassion of the left. And yeah, anyway, I don't know. It's complicated. I don't want to get into my politics here, but we're on different political lines. And then he is an atheist or an agnostic. I actually haven't nailed him down on either one. And I'm a Christian. I'm born, you know, what they call a born again Christian. So, but I have never felt a kinship or a brotherhood like I do with this guy. And we haven't ever sat and chatted for hours. You know, we swap emails once in a while and all that. But every time I have a run-in with him, whether it is an email or a podcast thing or whatever like that, he just has such a way about him. And yeah, I wish I lived closer to Tifton because we'd be going out to eat a lot, I think. I think we would. So anyway, Narthex Con Prep is, everything's purchased except for drinks. Cause I just put out the thing for drinks to get everybody's favorite drinks. A lot of people want a lot of different things and we're going to get them all. And nobody asked for anything outlandish, which I was a little worried about. You never know. You know, you put yourself out there and you don't know if somebody's going to take advantage. I need some sort of Italian soda that's mixed live by a French woman. I don't know. So, but we didn't get any of that. So it's going to be fun. There are very few things left to do in advance. Like I said earlier, a lot of the things are going to be done the night of, and it's decoration and setup. Shirts are ordered. So if you're coming, there's still time to come. Narthexcon.com, sign up, get it in there before the 22nd. Which is in a little bit. Actually, I think the cutoff date is, yes, the 22nd. It's the end of this week. So if you're coming, it's in St. Louis. It's amazing. It's fun. Read all about it at narthexcon.com. We had somebody sign up yesterday, and she put a shirt size in, even though shirt size cutoff was the 13th, but I managed to get her shirt in there under the radar. So that's because I love my people. I love you guys. All right. Depression. I had to lean in on podcasting being one of my disciplines today. And like I said, I was sleepy all day and I felt the depression coming just a little bit. And, going out to eat with the guys was great. I got up early, you know, but I was so tired all day and I didn't get much done. I did a little bit on my project that I'll talk about in just a second, but it tears me up. because I worry. I do. Like I said, God, I believe I'm healed, but help my unbelief. Please help me. Please help me not to fall into it. And if I do, help me to keep my disciplines going. You don't know how bad I want to keep going. You just don't know how bad I want it. You just don't know. You just have no idea how bad I want this thing to be beat. It's been too long. I'm done. And I'm not done in a, I'm going to kill myself done. Not nothing like that. I'm just, I've had it. Like, I'm going to be mad. Depression is not going to have a good time messing with me if it tries to come back. Family updates. Jen is getting in good with the old school guys at her job. Because she goes in more than most people. They have a very lax, you know, you can work hybrid, you can do whatever you want. But she goes in most of the time, and the old school guys that are tend to be, you know, they're not great at accepting young looking women, you know, into the workforce, especially, you know, over them, you know, in any way. And, this particular place has a lot of older guys that have been there for a long time. And I was never worried about her, because back in her banking days, when she did taxes for banks, she would go to these small town banks with these big boss hog owners, and she'd come rolling in and they'd just roll their eyes. And by the time she was done, man, they could not get enough of her. They thought she was the best thing in the world. They would send her home with bags of onions and potatoes and just stuff from their city, you know? And it was great. And I just loved that about her, that she would earn her place, because she was younger back then, and she was a female. And these guys, you know, had it in their head that she was just going to be just wasn't going to be the asset that they wanted her to be. And she blew their negative views out of the water, just blew them away with the quality and the effort of her work. And she's still doing it today. And I just love that. Jenna and Jay both did me good on Father's Day. Jenna came to church with us that morning and sat next to me. And then we went to lunch at Benton Park Cafe. And that was really fun. And she talked to us. She talked to Jen and I about how she was raised and how she wants to raise her kids the same way, and how she sees her friends, how they're not even nice to people, like nice to servers and stuff, because she thinks their parents gave them everything they wanted. And so bringing food to a table is something they're entitled to, you know, and she just doesn't want to be that way. And she also doesn't want her kids to be that way. And we're just looking at each other like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a miracle. But she got me a Mizzou dad shirt, and that, I love it. Okay. I love it. And I will proudly represent her as a Mizzou student, but I can't do the Mizzou dad thing. Okay. Same reason why Gen Xers don't wear Gen X shirts. I'm talking about shirts that say I'm Gen X, because there are some cute ones out there. One of them says raised on hose water and neglect, you know, Gen X, you know, you don't wear world's greatest grandpa shirts. I don't. Anyway, world's greatest dad, never have been that guy. So I have no problem with the Mizzou and the logo part, but the dad part, you know, just that part. So she's going to trade it in and get me in. And I'm a terrible dad. She did a wonderful job picking out something that I would enjoy. And I showed my tail. I did. I'm a butt, but I can't wear that shirt. Can't do it. And I'm also the guy that you can't wear the shirt of the band that you're going to go to the concert to see. Don't be that guy. And I know there's a lot of people that do that, but I'm not one of them. If I'm going to go see MXPX, I'm not wearing an MXPX shirt. If I'm going to see Taylor Swift, I'm not wearing a Taylor Swift shirt. You know, I don't know. I just got that in my mind early on in life, and I got an issue about it. Jay got me a tiny little desktop trash can with a little flippy lid, And it's perfect because I have a 13-gallon trash can in my new bigger office, but it's way over there and I have to throw things over there. But you don't know how many times I have little tiny scraps of paper, like the back of a stamp, to peel off, and I need to put it in a trash can. So now I have this cute little trash can that he got it from Marshall's where he works. And so it's so dang cute. I love it. So it's really good. And I had a wonderful day with the family. The kids were great. We all went to dinner. And dinner kind of sucked. I mean, the food was bad, but they picked it for me, and it was great. We had a great time, and they, you know, talked. And it's not, you know, communication with my kids isn't always instant. And when I pray for favor in my prayers, I pray for favor with my kids, and it has been working out. It has been working out. I also pray that I be a blessing to them. Because I used to be called the fixer around here, and I used to be of use. And as they get older, they don't need me as much, and that's normal. But, you know, I pray that when they do, that they will, you know, that they will see me as a resource, because I want to be that for them. So what am I reading, playing, watching, doing? Well, I'm reading Grace Walk still by Steve McVeigh. My bad, I always say McKeevy because that's a better name. I'm reading the Book of Souls by Robert Silverberg. Again, it's not going to be for everybody, but I love it so far. I don't like every ounce of it, but I like the story. A story about four guys, college guys, that are going on a trip to find out if they can get eternal life. You know, it's just kind of cool. And each chapter is written by a different one of them. So it's from their perspective. So you have to stay on it, man, because you learn who each person is, and they talk differently. And the writing is great because he writes differently for each person. They all have different intelligence levels and different senses of humor and different ways of looking at life. And it's very interesting. So what am I watching? I've been watching a lot because I'm off work, and I've been doing crafts. I got to talk about that. That's one of my doing thing is I'm doing a craft I'll tell you about. So I play stuff while I'm doing my craft. And I've been watching The Acolyte. Now, The Acolyte has gotten really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, except for with the viewership. And like the normal people. And I don't see it. There is some homosexuality in it. But it is not the main focus, and it's not being glorified. It's not being spotlighted. So it flies under my radar. The issue I have with anything like that, even heterosexual stuff, is when they just overdo it. It's like, it's not necessary. It's freaking Star Wars, you know? I don't need any of that. I don't need relationships at all. I mean, and look at what happened when they did do relationships. It was freaking sisters and brothers kissing each other. So let's just keep most of that out of it, you know, like relationships in general. I've been watching Andor, which I've been putting down and picking up, and it's really good every time I pick it up. I watched Tomorrowland on Disney Channel. It is a good movie. All right. It was very underrated. It's got George Clooney. See how I remembered his name? Just boom, George Clooney. It's got some other people that I don't know their names. Not that I forgot them. I just never knew them. But it is a cute movie. It has a very cute girl that plays a very cute robot. And it's just well done. It's a good movie, and it's hopeful. It's got a positive message. It's got the guy from House in it. Hugh Laurie. Yes. See, look at the words coming. And then Dark Matter, which is, I found on Apple Plus. I was like, if I'm not going to watch Apple Plus, I need to just unsubscribe. So I went there and see what they're doing. And Dark Matter, it is great. I don't know if you've seen Family Man, the movie Family Man. And that was, oh, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it again? From Con Air, Nicolas Cage. Nick Cage, you remember that movie he was in where he is a successful guy? It's kind of a Christmassy movie. And he wakes up and he's suddenly in a different world where he made a different decision and he's got a family and everything. But then that gets taken back from him and he ends up being a businessman again with a different ending. Well, imagine if both of those guys switched places, except the rich one took the life of the poor dad and took his life because he regretted not having the best of both lives. And now the poor dad has to find his way back to his life through some sort of sci-fi device. That is what Dark Matter is all about. It's so good. I've also been watching a cartoon called Smiling Friends, and I am not proud of it. I'm not proud of it, but it's entertaining. And I think the episodes are like 15 minutes long. And I didn't like the first episode at all because it has a character with a gun to his head the entire time. And that's just a little too triggery. And I don't get triggered that often, but you know, there's a pun in there, something about gun and a trigger. But suicide is it's not funny to me. So I had watched the first episode partway through. I finished it, and then I watched the rest of them. And they're annoying is what they are. It is a different style of humor, but it's very creative. They use 3D, they use 2D, they use claymation. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I just have to appreciate it for what it is. So what am I playing? I'm playing Resident Evil Village. I don't play very much, but I pick it up and I play until I get stuck. And I keep getting stuck a lot. So then I turn it off because it's like one of those old King's Quest games. Look at me remembering names and stuff. And it's where you have to click on every pixel to find what you're supposed to do next. And Resident Evil games are basically puzzle games where you have to find things and put them into other things to open up more stuff. And when I get stuck, it means I'm stuck in a certain set of rooms and I haven't found the thing that needs to go in the thing. And sometimes it's an eye that needs to be pulled out of a ring that needs to then be put into a statue and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now you need the second eye from another source. And so, you know, it's supposed to be survival horror, but it's mostly a puzzle game that reminds me of the old 90s games. So what am I doing? I returned my key. I realized I had walked out of my job without, you know, handing in the key. So I texted the boss and I went and saw him today and handed in my key. And then I went next door because I'd set it up in advance. And the guy snuck out one by one and they met me next door at Firehouse and we had lunch. I bought him lunch today. And we just chatted. One of them's quitting at the end of this week. It's his last week there. And the other one is looking for another job. They're just done. And they were talking about whether they were going to get Juneteenth off. And I said, well, he said that we were. He says, yeah, but we got a big job to do. And if we don't get it done, we're not going to get it off. And I said, that's a little ironic, honestly. And they laughed. So I got away with my joke. Roommates at lunch and I'm working on a craft. Okay. So I made a pixel Buzz Lightyear and I found these 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter cubes online and I'm painting them individually and then super gluing them together. And I actually went to a different Buzz that I made out of pixels because the one I wanted to make would have been a little longer, would a little bit taller, but his legs would have been 1 centimeter wide. And I don't think the feet would have stayed together. I don't think it would have worked. So I changed to a different one. And so I'm going to post pictures occasionally on my Facebook. So if you follow me on Facebook, I probably should put them on Instagram as well. But you can find out all about that kind of stuff at nlcast.com. And you can find all about my places and follow me in all the places. And then you can also email me, I guess, too, and ask about it. And I will respond because I still do that. Closing thought for today, because it's time to go. It's been an hour, 15 minutes. Good Lord. Sorry about that. Okay. So when you're facing things that you have to do, if you're a depressed person, and this works for non-depressed people too, people that are struggling, anybody that's struggling, and you, there's just things you have to do that you do not want to do, like podcasting today. I did not want to do this. And it scared me. It made me freak out. What you have to do is simplify them down to the first actionable item, the very first thing. So focus on that. So back in the day, when I used to struggle with showering, I used this tool. And I wouldn't think I have to go take a shower. I would think I need to go set the water. The first actionable item. I need to just go over there and set it to the right temperature. And getting started is 99% of the pain of getting anything accomplished, especially when you're depressed. It's getting started. So if you can get down to what the actual start is, like for me today with podcasting, just start filling in the form, fill in the podcast notes. Just start doing that. You don't have to do anything else. Just do that. And by the time I was done, I was ready. I was ready to go. I wanted to share all this with you guys. So there we go. This show is brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community. Become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. I just got new stickers in. I'm going to be sending those out to new subscribers and possibly even the existing subscriber or supporting listeners, because I just sent out a new logo sticker that's not relevant anymore because I changed the name of the show. So email me your feedback, thoughts, and questions. I love to hear from you. I really do. James@nlcast.com. I love when you share your stories. I love responding. I love hearing anything you have to say. For everything else, though, visit outlivingdepression.com. You can find out how to follow us. You can find show notes, you know, find out how to support us and all that good stuff. God bless you guys. I hope to hear from you. We'll see you next week. We made it through a podcast. The end.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.